He is holy. And if there ever was an hour in which we need an emphasis upon the holiness and the awesomeness of our God, it is the hour in which we're living. Isaiah chapter 6. Here in Maine, we put an hour in the end of words where it doesn't belong, so this is Isaiah. I say that in places, and people come up to me afterward and say, would you pronounce that again, please? Then I was in England a few years ago, and they call it Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not. Just that far from Isaiah chapter 6, God always blesses the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Father, what a privilege this morning to meet together, sing, fellowship, share, open the word of God. Give us ears that are tuned to hear what you have to say. Give us minds that are clear to understand it. Give us hearts that are open to receive it. And above all, give us wills that are submitted to obey it. In Christ's precious name, amen. There are certain events that happen in the course of one's lifetime, whether they happen to you personally, to your family, in your town, in your city, in your state, your nation, the world. There are certain events that if I were to see you even years later, and I were to say to you, where were you, what were you doing when you learned of such and such an event? You'll immediately be able to tell me. One of those events was 9/11, 2001. Hard to believe that we've celebrated 20 years of that event. My wife and I happened to be home that day. I left the house fairly early that morning, had two or three errands to run, and then I was going to meet three friends at the Palmyra golf course. People say to me, do you play golf? I say, people play with me, don't think I do. But so anyway, I was to meet them there, met them at the golf course. As you know, preachers make the best golfers because we're always teed off and putting around. And so I met them at the golf course, and some of them are here this morning, by the way. And we finished the front nine. And as you come off the ninth green, you travel across the parking lot to the 10th tee. And I looked and my wife was driving in to the golf course. Perfect timing, right? I knew she had some message to tell us. As we sat there in the parking lot, she told us that an airplane had gone into one of the twin towers. Second plane had gone into the second twin tower. And then a plane going into the Pentagon. And then, of course, later that afternoon, the plane that went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. I also remember as we're sitting there, I said to her, an airplane went into the Twin Towers, but the Twin Towers are definitely still standing. She said, no, the Twin Towers collapsed. So I, later that afternoon, late on in the night, I sat glued to the television, as many people did, and watching the various news broadcasts, mostly watching Fox News because they're 10% conservative, the rest 100% liberal, and just getting a perspective on what had happened. About 11 o'clock at night, I turned off the TV. On my way to bed, went in my office, sat down at my desk, opened my Bible, and my Bible opened to Isaiah 6. I did not intentionally open it to Isaiah 6, but that's where it opened. So I sat there and I read the entire sixth chapter. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, that was 739 BC. He had reigned for nearly 52 years. He died of leprosy. He said, I remember that year very well. That's the year King Uzziah died, but it also is the year of the call of God upon my heart, upon my life for ministry. And I thought as I sat there that night what he said. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. See, all a lot of people saw was a dead king and an empty throne. But Isaiah saw the Lord. And I thought as I sat there, you know, with the events that have happened of that day, and I certainly don't want to minimize in any way thousands of lives that were taken. I thought, how possible it would be to see the tragedy and the tragic aspect of the day and miss seeing the Lord. So later that night and early the next morning, I prepared a message in Isaiah 6. You'd be able to tell I was half asleep when I prepared it. And that message I entitled, Road to Revival. Wake up call 911. Now, a lot's been made of the fact that it was the ninth month, the 11th day. I don't think there probably is any great significance to that. But 911 is our emergency call here in the United States of America. And I'm firmly convinced 9/11/2001 was an emergency wake-up call from our God to the Church of Jesus Christ. And you know what? He got our attention for about 6 months. Attendance went up. Even politicians said, you got to pray now. But boy, we have such short memories sometimes. I'm not sure, by the way, my God did not cause 9/11/2001, but he sure knew it was going to happen. It didn't catch him off guard. Let me also remind you, COVID-19 didn't catch him off guard either. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I believe with all my heart, COVID-19 is another wake-up call from our God to the Church of Jesus Christ. And I'll be very honest with you. My heart's broken. I'm very concerned as to what I see happening in the evangelical, fundamental, Bible-believing church. I mean, some churches, folks, they're down to 50% of what they were prior to COVID. I don't want to minimize COVID in any way. Even in the last several weeks, I've had some real good, dear friends of mine in ministry. Brother Jimmy DeYoung, many of you may have known, prophecy speaker. Great friend of his, David James, pioneered the Word of Life Bible Institute in Hungary. His memorial service was yesterday in Iowa, and so on. So I don't want to minimize it in any way, okay? But I've had a motto during this entire time. I shared it here at the church. I share it again. Here's my motto during COVID-19. Our God's working an eternal plan, and he's on schedule. Our God's working an eternal plan, and he's on schedule. He just hasn't given you nor me the schedule. But I tell you something. There's one throne never been abdicated. It's never been overthrown. And he still reigns King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Road to Revival. Wake up call 911. Vance Havner, the great Southern preacher, home of the Lord now, had a unique way of saying in a sentence or two what takes the rest of us an hour to get out. Vance Havner said this about revival. He said, revival, you don't work it up, you don't pray it down. You just set your sails to catch the wind of God's divine grace. Listen to that again. Revival, you don't work it up, you don't pray it down. You just set your sails to catch the wind of God's divine grace. Here's another quote from Vance Havner. We'll never convert this world by criticism of it, nor by conformity to it, but by combustion within it of lives ignited by the Spirit of God. Beloved, I believe with all my heart, if we don't soon experience a genuine, heaven-sent Holy Spirit revival, I'm not talking about some emotional thing that, you know, comes up in a minute and dies. Little emotionalism doesn't hurt. I'm talking about a genuine Holy Spirit revival here in our nation. I really fear we may be on the skids to hell. You can be, as Brother Mark said in Sunday school this morning, you can be as blessed as we are as a nation and a people, and literally shake our fist in the face of Almighty God, and basically everything that we're seeing happening before our very eyes today, anti-God, anti-biblical, anti-Christ, anti-moral, and anti-American. And so I believe, as the people of God, we need genuine Holy Ghost revival. Now, let me tell you, this isn't popular preaching. God never told me to be popular, he told me to be faithful. Here's Isaiah. Three things. Here it is. Isaiah saw. Isaiah sought, S-O-U-G-H-T, in case you can't understand my lingo, and Isaiah said, okay? Isaiah saw, that's the upward look. Isaiah sought, that's the inward look. Then Isaiah said, that's the outward look. He first saw the Lord, then he saw himself, then he saw a world for whom Christ died. That's the biblical pattern of revival. Let's take a look at it. Isaiah saw. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. Question. How long has it been since you've seen him? Oh, we don't see him physically. We don't see him bodily. The Greeks came to Philip in John chapter 12, and they said, sir, we would see Jesus. Years ago, I walked into a pulpit to preach where I'd never previously preached. And in bold letters on the back of the pulpit, that's what it said. Sir, we would see Jesus. I thought, man, that's a great reminder for the preacher. Isaiah saw his person. I have a personal belief on that. If you don't want to agree with me, that's fine. If you want to be wrong, I believe way back there in 739 BC, God gave to Isaiah a view of the pre-incarnate Son of God. I believe God gave him a view down the avenues and the corridors of time. I believe Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus. Number two, Isaiah not only saw his person, Isaiah saw his position. Where did he see him? He saw him sitting on a throne high and lifted up. Folks, the throne of the nation was empty. The king was dead. But Isaiah saw him. And you know what? I've got good news for you this morning. He's still on the throne. He still got it all under control. And I like what Billy Graham said. He said, I read the last chapter of the book. It's going to turn out all right. Okay? My God has it all under control. Let's see him today, seated high, lifted up. Philippians 2, 9 to 11, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Thirdly, Isaiah not only saw his person and his position, Isaiah saw his purity. We have mentioned here the seraphims. The seraphims are ministering angels. To my knowledge, this is the only mention of the seraphims in the Word of God. Each of them had six wings. Two wings, they covered their feet. Two wings, they did fly. Fairly significant purpose for a wing. And then with two wings, they covered their face. And the reason they covered their faces, they could not look upon the awesomeness and the holiness of Almighty God. And as they covered their faces, they cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Folks, he is holy. And if there ever was an hour in which we need an emphasis upon the holiness and the awesomeness of our God, it is the hour in which we're living. Isaiah saw his person, his position, his purity. Next, Isaiah saw his power. He said, mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory. He saw the power of Almighty God. Ephesians 3 says that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or even think. Question, do you think that our God is as powerful on the last day of October 2021 as he was in 739 BC? If you do, say amen. Amen. That wasn't too bad, okay? Yeah, he hasn't changed. Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13 said, Jesus Christ the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know anybody of whom you can say that? Yeah, some of you wives are saying, yeah, my husband. He's disagreeable in the morning, disagreeable in the afternoon, disagreeable. No, Jesus Christ the same. Yes, you got it, okay. The same yesterday, today, forever. One other thing he saw. You know what he saw? He saw his prospect. He saw his prospect. Here's what he said. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, folks, the whole earth today is not full of the glory of God. There's coming a day when it will be. Matter of fact, Isaiah devotes an entire chapter to it. Chapter 35. You need to read it. Not while I'm preaching, but you need to read it. Okay? Isaiah in chapter 35 talks of a day when the whole world will be filled, controlled with the glory of God. Today, the world is filled with wickedness, rebellion, sin, immorality, unbelief on every hand. But there's coming a day, thank God, when every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Isaiah saw. I'd like to invite you today. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow what? Strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Isaiah saw him. Now, that's the upward look. When Isaiah saw the Lord, Isaiah saw Isaiah. And when Isaiah saw the Lord and Isaiah saw Isaiah, Isaiah did not like what Isaiah saw in Isaiah. And in case you didn't get that, I'll run it by one more time, because I practiced that earlier this morning. When Isaiah saw the Lord, Isaiah saw Isaiah. When Isaiah saw the Lord and Isaiah saw Isaiah, he didn't like what he saw in Isaiah. You and I will never see ourselves as we need to see ourselves till we see him. You know what we do? Now, not you folks, as the people weren't able to come this morning, but you know what we do? We compare ourselves to other people. And we always make sure we select someone's going to make us look fairly good. I may not be the Christian I ought to be, but better than he is. Better than she is. And you know what? We come to church with a pitchfork. We pitch it over here and pitch it over there. I hope today you brought a rake. Just rake it all in, right? Okay? Yeah, when Isaiah saw the Lord, by the way, folks, we'll never see ourselves as we really need to see ourselves till we see him. You know why? When we see him, we'll see ourselves as he sees us. See, that's what the wisdom of God is. The wisdom of God is the ability to view life circumstances from heaven's perspective. To be able to, the song says, looking through his eyes. So, first Isaiah saw. Secondly, Isaiah sought. Isaiah is the one who said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Isaiah now seeks the face of God. Listen to what he said. Woe is me, I'm undone. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He said, I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Okay? Isaiah seeks the face of God. Not until he had seen the Lord in all of his majesty, now he sees himself. Let me try to summarize that with these words. First, there was conviction. He said, woe is me, I'm undone. Lord, I've forsaken you. I've cut you off. Lord, I've chosen to go my way instead of your way. What is conviction? Conviction is seeing and sensing your need and your condition with a desire to do something about it. I don't believe any person will ever be genuinely saved until they've experienced genuine conviction. You know why some people never get saved? They never get lost. They think they're all right. That's conviction. But also, there's not just conviction prior to conversion. There's genuine Holy Spirit conviction that's needed every day in the life of the believer. Can I give you a personal observation? I'm not seeing a lot of genuine Holy Spirit conviction on the part of God's people today. I didn't say I wasn't seeing any. I said I'm not seeing a lot. Conviction. Woe is me. Number two, his conviction led to confession. Here's what he said. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Would you notice something about his confession? Would you notice it's very specific? Would you notice he named it? Sometimes we come to the Lord, we have a tendency to say, well, Lord, I think I possibly might have sinned. I'm not sure, but I think I did. If I did, I don't know when it was and where it was and what it did, but Lord, I certainly want to confess it. Yeah. Isaiah said, no, Lord, I'm a garbage mouth. He said, my tongue's not under control. And you know, I find that in my own life, and I believe it's the case in all of our lives, we know what the problem is. We know the areas we ought to deal with, but we just sometimes fail to come before God in open, genuine confession. Isaiah said, "Lord, woe is me. I am a sinful man. I need to get my heart and life right with you." When he saw the Lord, he saw himself. Thirdly, conviction led to confession. That led to cleansing. When he came into conviction, saw his sin, and confessed it, one of the seraphims took tongs from off the altar. He flew over, took a live coal, came over, and placed that coal upon the lips of Isaiah. Wow. Here's what he said. "Lo, this hath touched your lips. Your sin, your iniquity is cleansed. Your sin is purged." 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all. You know what? Do you realize there's absolutely no sin beyond the grace of God other than the sin of rejection of Jesus Christ? Thank God every other sin comes under the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaiah is now cleansed. His sin is forgiven. His heart is now right with God. So conviction led to confession, led to cleansing. That led to the challenge. Would you notice what it says in the next verse? Also, got it? Back up to verse 1. In the year the king Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. Now look what he says. I also heard the voice of the Lord. Question. How long has it been since you heard the voice of God? Oh, my God's not speaking in an audible voice today, but he's sure speaking through his word. Bible says, if I regard sin and iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know what else? If you and I regard sin in our lives, not only the Lord will not hear me, I'll not hear him. Because it breaks the communication line between you, me, and our God. So he hears the voice of God. So Isaiah saw. When he saw, Isaiah sought. He seeks the face of God. He's now right with God. Now he hears the voice of God. And here's what the Lord said. He said, I got a job to do, and I'm looking for volunteers. Who's available? That was 739 BC. You know what God's saying today, October 31st, 2021? I've got a job to do, and I'm looking for volunteers. Who's available? Can I give you another personal observation? I'm not finding a lot of people available. We have our own agenda. God's not number one in the daytimer. Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send my sister. No. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, what? Send me. You know what he said? He said, Lord, I'm available. Got it? He saw, he sought, now he said, Lord, I'm available. If God had a soul to reach today, are you available? Am I available? If God had a ministry in this church, or you may be visiting from another church, if God had a ministry for you to perform today, are you available? Bob Jones Sr., founder of Bob Jones University, is known for many great statements. One of them is this: our greatest ability is our availability to the Holy Spirit. God doesn't ask me to be successful. God doesn't ask me anything. He just asks me to be faithful. He just asks me to be available. And you know what I found? If we're available, God's got a workforce. If we're available, God's got a job. He'll bring people across our path we never imagined if we're just available. If we're not available, why would God want to waste his time bringing people across our path? So Isaiah said, Lord, I'm available. I jotted this down. What did Isaiah do when he became conscious of God's need of a man? Listen to that again. What did Isaiah do when he became conscious of God's need of a man, or in your case, it may be a lady or a young person? I jotted down three things. Number one, he made a decision on sin. We've already talked about it. Number two, he made a dedication of self. We've already talked about it. Number three, he made a determination to serve. That's where we are right now. That's what Isaiah did in 739 BC. But here's the question. What are you and I going to do in October 2021? Isaiah said, Lord, I'm available. Then I jotted this down. What did God do when Isaiah said, I'm available? Look at it. He said, go and tell. Go and tell. Gossip the gospel. Get out the message. Sinners need a savior. The world's perishing without God, without Christ, and without hope. Go and tell. Now God said, I want to tell you something, Isaiah. Not many are going to believe. Not many are going to, but that's not your problem. That's not my problem. You leave that in God's hands. He does a lot better job than we do. Your job and my job and responsibility is what? Plant the seed. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God. And if God doesn't do the work, it'll be in vain, right? So the question is, am I available? Am I really available? Notice, in verse number 5, Isaiah said, woe. In verse number 7, the seraphim said, lo. In verse number 9, God said, go. How do you go from woe to lo to go? How do you go from the woe of confession to the lo of cleansing to the go of commission? Very simple. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Late on the night of 9/11/2001, on my knees in my office, 36 Lunt Road, I think Warren Cindy know where that is, 36 Lunt Road, Newport, Maine, I opened my Bible, not this one, a previous Bible, it's in this one, but not this one. I opened my Bible, and I wrote these words, Dear Lord Jesus, I am available. I signed my name, got it witnessed, 9/11/2001. You know what? I believe I was available prior to that. Oh, there's times when we all get a little ornery and disagreeable. But I believe I was available. But you know what? I don't believe my God got the least bit upset that night that I was willing to write that in my Bible and sign my name. You know what it's done? It has revolutionized my heart, my life, my burden for souls, my desire to serve and to please the Lord, and God be the glory. These last 20 years have been the greatest to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, I am available. Road to revival. Wake up call 911. Question, are you available? Sometime after that, I prepared a little card. Here's what it says. Road to revival, wake up call 911. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Then I have my commitment. Dear Lord Jesus, I am available. Place for your signature, place for witness, place for the date. Peel off the back, put it in your Bible. What a great daily reminder. That's all God asks. I'm available. There's no age difference there, no matter how old you are. Retired or just plain tired. Okay? Doesn't matter, male or female. Young people, teenagers, it's for you. Senior citizens, it's for you. Middle age, whatever that is. I kept pushing it up for years. It's for you. Dear Lord Jesus, I am available. Now in a moment, our brother's going to come and lead us in a song. I'm going to ask Pastor Mark to be here at the altar. I'm going to give them these cards. Here's my invitation. If you as a Christian, I'm speaking primarily to the believer this morning. If you're here and don't know the Savior, please don't leave here without him. Please. The gospel is still available. Put a personal faith and trust in him. Any one of us would love to talk to you. But I'm going to ask how many this morning will say, Lord, I'm available. You say, well, I've already been available. God will not get the least bit upset if you reaffirm it, sign your name, Get somebody to witness it. Put it in your Bible as a daily reminder. Okay? That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to beg, coax, plead. It's between you and the Lord. So let's bow in prayer. Would you just take a moment and talk to the Lord? If you're available, brother, would you come and get ready to lead us in our song? With our heads bowed before the Lord, okay? Would you just take a moment, talk to the Lord? If you're available, tell him so. While our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask my wife to come up and join me, because we want the Lord to know that we're available. We want the whole world to know we're available. I haven't figured out much, but I figured out one thing. I've only got one lifetime to live this life. I better live it to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ.